There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday, this Ides of March. We'll come back to that in just a second. We are live at the Wharf, and we're here for Grander Marine's Grander, see what they did there, opening that's going on right now. Now, you got the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show going on, but Grander Marine, this is pretty darn cool. So here at the Wharf, they have their facility, boats for sale. Tackle for, I was touring the tackle department a second ago. Also, their full alignment of the golf carts there. And this is when you come by today, tomorrow, or Sunday, coming down here to the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, make sure to stop by and get in the raffle to win a free candy, and it's KANDI, candy golf cart. It's not like candy paint. Dalton said, don't get excited, but it's candy is the brand golf cart. Check it out. The thing is, beautiful. It's got like bucket seats on a golf cart. Candy golf cart. The raffle's open for the duration of the Wharf Boat Show. So you stop by here on the west side of the footprint here of the of where the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show is. You'll see the building here, Grander Marine's physical location here at the Wharf. You go in, you drop your name in, and you can do it today, tomorrow, and Sunday. The winner is going to be announced and contacted via email, announced on Facebook Live on Sunday evening, St. Patrick's Day at 5 p.m., so you'll put down your pints long enough to hear that. So stop by, get registered for that. And really, it's a good thing. I mean, so Grander Marine, and we can talk about the boats, a great selection of boats here. But in addition to that, they've got the carts. They also have a tackle department, which is convenient, and live bait right here on the site. So they've got the truly for somebody getting ready to go fishing, they got the stop you need to make. Get your boat, get your tackle, and get your live bait as you go out fishing. So check that out. And yes, we are here at the Wharf for the Boat Show that starts today and runs through St. Patrick's Day, which if you didn't check out, that's Sunday. And yes, I'm with you, Terry Latham. I'm with you. It is it's Crichton Leprechaun weekend. It culminates with St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. Got Friendly Sons parading tomorrow, but it's all about the leprechaun, and everybody out there who's seen the leprechaun say, yeah. All right, let's lay out what we got coming up today. My buddy Jim Cox is going to join me here in just a little bit with the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. Good to get him back on. It's been too long. He and I go way, way back, which means we're old. We'll talk to him about that, about the show coming up. Also, Parker Snyder, 1819 News, joins us in the 1 o'clock hour, and our man John Sharp from AL.com joins us about 12:30 to talk about the big announcement from yesterday that I talked to Dale Leash about, but more on the plans for the Civic Center. The demolition, which is not going to be an exciting, like AC/DC video version of a demolition, but they are going to demolish and build something anew. It'll be a new arena, so we'll talk about that and some of the other plans, the Grand Hall. I don't know, some of y'all have seen the design plans already, but we'll talk about that with John coming up at 12:30. And as always, your text and calls, welcome at 343-0106, 343-0106. Yeah, so watch your back, y'all. It is the Ides of March today. Now, think about this, too. So the Ides of March, we all know from, you know, the assassination of Julius Caesar. But think about what goes on in today's political world. Not much different. I mean, maybe not. Well, sometimes they do use knives and poison, and but what went on back then, and what goes on now in the American political system? There's a lot to be worried about on the Ides of March. It was interesting too. If you look at Ides of March, of course, famous for the assassination of Caesar, but it was a thing in the Roman calendar. It was actually March started the year, so. The way they work the Roman calendar, which I understand just about as well as I understand Roman numerals. Whenever they throw up whatever Super Bowl it is, it takes me like time and a pencil to figure out what number that is. I don't know why Super Bowl people just don't go with a regular number there. But the Ides of March, March start of the year, and Ides of March, interestingly enough, if you look and read, is when debts were settled. It was a deadline for settling debts in Rome. So I guess if you had a debt from the previous year, the month of March started and you had 15 days into the new year to settle the debt from the previous year. I mean, of course, that's iconic when you think about them settling the debt with Caesar in the assassination. But it's also politically interesting to think about debts settled out there. So we'll talk about that with you at 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, and I'm seeing people on the text line right now saying, where are we? We are, so Grand Marine, they're, if you're pulling up here, so Grand Marine is on the west side of what I would call the General Wharf Metroplex here. So we're on the west side. Those of y'all that aren't from around here, the west side would be over towards getting closer to the bridge. Not the bridge from the Foley Beach Express, but the 59 bridge. So we're towards Gulf Shores. Right, so we're on that side, but you'll see the new builder from Grander, a new building from Grander. That's where we are. And in addition to, I'll let you know at some point during the next 2 hours, I brought some of the FM Talk 106.5 logoed Superstar buckets with the rope handle and the grab handle on the bottom and all that good stuff for your boat or your yard. I'll give some of those away while we're here. So that's on the list of things to do. Then we go to two updates here. Number one, a story we talked about this week a good bit about John Barnett. We had played the audio earlier this week. John Barnett was that person who had worked for Boeing as a quality inspector and then had the whistleblower status added to him. And then we played the audio that he had talked on TMZ about 2 weeks ago about the problems going on at Boeing. And then, of course, Monday the story was he was found dead. Here's a headline from New York Post that Boeing whistleblower John Barnett made powerful enemies before his death as workers are skeptical he killed himself. So more on this. I mean, I think a lot of people have jumped to this conclusion that it's a Epstein situation. I don't know yet, but what it does is brings up a bigger conversation. If you go back and listen to his audio, what he said, I guess it made sense to me, which is, you know, which I know there's some capture bias with that, but what he had said to me, what he had said in the interview, is that Boeing, to cut cost, was taking out basically secondary inspection, right? So a mechanic and a worker online would do work on one of the Boeing planes, and in the past they had had a quality inspector, which that's what this guy John Barnett had done, would come along behind, right? So you do your work and they come through and check. That something had changed there in how Boeing did business, that they weren't doing those quality inspections afterwards. In other words, the person that was riveting or putting something together would do it, and then they would check off on it on their own versus having a secondary person come on behind it. He said that's why the door plugs were the tip of the iceberg, I think, as he said, with the problems for Boeing. But, yeah, there's more on this. Boeing employees coming out and saying anonymously that they don't think he's that he killed himself. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a big investigation into that. We'll see. I don't know you ever get to the bottom of that, but we have that on the list of things to talk about. In addition, what do you think? Look at Georgia. I know that Dan and Dalton talked about it a lot this morning with Fanny. I always want to say Fanny because I'm perpetually 13 years old, but Fannie Willis can remain on the Trump case in Georgia, according to the judge. Judge Scott McAfee has ruled in Georgia that Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis and her office can continue. This is the situation. She can continue prosecuting Donald Trump and co-defendants, but only if the special prosecutor boyfriend Nathan Wade steps down. So there you go. There's justice in action in Georgia as well. All right, coming back, more from right here at the Wharf, and we are right in front of Grander Marine's brand new location. Your chance to win a golf cart and see some great boats. That's going on today through Sunday. Come by and see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show and right here at the Grander Marine Grander opening. You see what I'm saying, Grander? It's the Grander opening, how they did this. It's a play on words, but it's actually pretty cool what they've done here. And I bring my friend in, Jim Cox, with the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, to talk for a second here about what's going on with Grand
just
Marine.
A second. Like just
okay, minutes.
Seconds.
Many seconds. Yes. Many seconds. though it's like I started thinking about this, and you know, I'm more of a West Side guy, and Jim and I have this, you know, long going rivalry.
But if you picture Sean in your mind and you picture me in your mind, it's like, you know, one of us looks like, you know, kind of the Orange Beach side and one kind of looks like the West Side.
Usually I would take offense. I'd take offense on that, but you're probably right because I am that much cooler. But no, what they've done here, what Chris and them have done here is to have right here at the wharf, you have not only a place to look at these great boats and buy boats, but dude, Tackle Shop looks tight in there. They got great stuff, and they have live bait too.
And just the world changed down here with the new launch.
Yes,
right here across the intercoastal. That just changed everything here, and just it, obviously for Grander too. But like, think about all the guys who have in water boats here. Uh-huh. Launched it right here and just boom, they're at the show. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, dumping it in somewhere else. But no, and the folks at Grander, like, I absolutely love Chris and Sharon, and I love everybody. But they're absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. And he has built an amazing business by, and everybody says, treat people the right way. But Chris has just always been like, I want someone to become our customer. I want to take care of them, and I want to sell them their next boat. And I'm never gonna stick it to someone on a boat to make a deal.
Doing stuff the old fashioned way.
That's
right?
It.
That's why businesses stay in business.
Correct.
If you act right.
So you know. So he's got his location down on Canal Road. He's got one in Panama City Beach. He's got one in St. Joe. Got one here. I mean, it's just they're growing, and again, there's lots of great boats here. They're super people. Love them to death.
Yeah, and big thank you for them having us down here. And reminder too, that if you stop by today, tomorrow, Sunday, the days of the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, you can enter the raffle. They're giving away a free candy golf cart. Just walk in, drop your name in. They're going to do that drawing on Sunday. All right, so let's talk.
And it appears...
What?
So the drawing was such a big deal, they wanted to try to get, like, the kind of the mayor of the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show to actually be the one to pull the tickets.
Right,
so,
because they couldn't get them. Are you doing it?
I'll be doing it on Sunday, yes.
That's right.
That person was tied up.
Nice. Good to know.
Yes.
All right, Mayor-elect here. Let's talk about this. Day one of the show, man. And we pulled up here, got set up in front of Grander, and then walked out of the mobile command unit here, and there's people parked. Like, everybody, they're here day one.
It is. You know, we had people lined up before the gates opened at 10 o'clock. They want to get here, and that's... That's it, you know. But I mean, it's just so many boats. We got 840 boats ish here. About 140 in the water, which is what one of the things that makes this show so cool is, right, you have the in water boats. You know, that's just one thing that we're lucky to have the marina here that we can do that. And so, and you and I have made these jokes before, but like boat show pricing, you know, it sounds like the old car dealer who's lost his lease. But it really is a big deal. And this is, so we do a show in Panama City that was 2 weeks ago, and we do one here, and talking to the dealers and manufacturers, like, this is the first time, two things. One, they have plenty of inventory.
Mm-hmm. And explain that, because people who hadn't been watching this, maybe getting back into this, there is a period, supply chain-wise, you couldn't get a boat, or you couldn't get an engine for that boat. There were boats sitting there with no engines.
Correct. And so, you know, during COVID, everybody, we all thought, you know, boating's going to take a big hit. It was just the opposite. Everybody was like, wow, I have some free time. Maybe I have a little extra money that hit my account, and we're going to go boating. And so that, the supply chain and that slowed it down. And so now you have inventory back to, like, regular levels.
Right.
And so now that you have that, the manufacturers are offering incentives that they haven't offered in years because, quite frankly,
they didn't have to.
Like, right. Why am I going to give you 5, 10, 15, 20? I mean, there's one boat here. It's got a $75,000 rebate on it. But, you know, if
there were only, but years ago when there were only three of them out there, they had no reason.
You got it. Somebody's going to buy it. And so now they're doing that. And so they're really investing in the show, in the dealers to help those things. And you know, like, everybody's smart in this game. The reason all the incentives are at this time of year because they want to get these boats sold, but they really do end either after this show or at the very latest at the end of the month. Those incentives do go away, and you just can't get them back. It's a hard end on those dates.
Yeah, because a lot of times people think, yeah, sure it is.
People are
right.
I mean, we all were like, oh, sure, it's a deal. It's like, but I mean, this show does $20 million a year in sales annually.
Wow.
Collectively. I mean, so it's a big it's a big deal. But the dealers also know that, you know, you're going to talk to Sean, but then I'm going to go right around the corner. I'm going to talk to Jim about a very similar boat, and I'm going to play I'm gonna play both of them together. And the dealers know that.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to make the absolute best deal they can. And I like I was on TV this morning, and I said, the only reason you have a boat show is to sell boats.
Yeah.
The dealers spend
that's why they're here.
Ton of money, ton of effort, ton of time to get set up to sell boats. That's why they're here. They want to sell boats, and they know this is a chance. They got a you know an audience right in front of us, right in front of them. They're gonna try to sell you the boat.
What have you seen here that's or the trends in boats that surprises you or excites you?
The one thing I do notice, and you will too, when you walk around the show, it always feels bigger, and we have about the same number of boats. But part of it is the boats just keep getting bigger. Like boats just keep getting bigger, and so that takes up more space and it fills more things. I was just out on the 53 Scout Quad 600s.
Jeez. I remember Scout like they made a 17 and a 21 or something. Yeah, like
I just sold our 26 last year, and I mean I think 26 to 53 that's the next logical step up.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the missus say?
She'd be all in on that, but I'm not nearly as important as the boat would be to her. but there's really cool, like there's a I was just crawling around on a 41 foot Bahamas center console made in the Bahamas. They were always just factory direct custom boats. But now they have a dealer over the Destin Crestview area. They're their first dealer in the country, and they got the boat here. And we're just crawling all around. It's so cool. And everything's just it's nicer. You know, everything's nicer and fresher on the boats. And there's some cool, like we're starting to see kind of the European influence on production of boats and how
what makes it Euro?
So you'll just look, like they just look different than our center consoles, and they just look different than our cruising boats over here. And I was talking to Joe Galati, who of course is as big in the yachting industry as anyone, and he was telling me about that. And so you're starting to see French and Italian and Swedish boats and Polish boats come in here. And you'll walk on the docks and you'll see it because you're just like, well, that doesn't look like anything I've ever seen before. That's kind of cool. And if you're just a boat nerd like you and I, you're like, oh, I want to crawl on and take a look at that.
So people got those to look at. And you said something. We just got a couple minutes left here. But this is a conversation Mike Ward and I've had many times on the show. The size of the boats is a real thing. Is it the size of the boats driving the size of the engine production, or is it the bigger outboards are driving that they can make bigger boats? You know, I mean, which one?
I guess it goes hand. Yeah, I guess it goes hand. You know, hand in hand. And I just think one of the biggest things has just changed so much is just like the motors are just so more reliable than like when you and I started boating and stuff, and we did. You know, they crank. I mean, they do. Yeah, they start. They don't die. You don't kill mosquitoes for six neighbors down when they start. Or like, you know, if you have a you know, like a big broadcast van that's, you know, diesel smoke coming out. Like we don't have those in a lot of the a lot of the boats. And it just makes it, because you know, a lot of people would get a boat and they get so frustrated because it would break down or it wouldn't work. They're like, I'm out of it. Like, we just don't have those issues.
The quality's a lot better and more consistency. All right, tell folks listening now, come down, be part of this. It's today, tomorrow, Sunday.
Yep, 10 to 6 today, 10 to 6 tomorrow, 10 to 4 on Sunday. And, you know, the elephant in the room, how's the weather going to be on Sunday? You know, we'll kind of keep watching at that. But earlier in the week, you know, we were nervous about what it was going to be this weekend. But now, you know, no chance, not going to rain today during the show. It's going to rain tonight and overnight, but it'll clear out by tomorrow. No rain forecast.
Yeah, Saturday looks good.
Yeah, during the show. And then, you know, maybe late Sunday afternoon looks like it might affect us a little bit. But between now and then, it's going to be great.
All right. And outside of just the boats, you've got the vendors here for things to put on your boats.
Yeah, over 100 vendors here. We've got everything from, you know, we always say, if you like the coastal lifestyle, like there's something here for you, whether it's furniture for your beach house or your condo, or, you know, decor to go in there, bicycles, electric golf carts that are street legal or so popular. There's thousands of those here. Maybe not thousands, but a lot. Yeah. You know, so yeah, if you love the coastal lifestyle, we got something here for you.
All right. Online, they want to get, do they need to, can they still get tickets ahead of time?
Sure, but it's just, if you just go online, wharfboatshow.com, and you just get it on your phone and scan it when you walk right in.
All right, there he is. He's the acting mayor of the Wharf Boat Yacht Show. It's Jim Cox, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile. We're here at the Wharf Boat Yacht Show in front of Grander Marine for their grander opening.
Hey.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along on a Friday, the Ides of March. Yeah, let me talk to my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry real quick. Ron, do you have any kind of Roman, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was, I got a Roman coin from y'all. Do y'all have any of those in stock?
Yeah, we do. We have a gold Roman coin in an 18-karat gold bezel with an 18-karat gold chain. Very cool. It comes with a certificate of authenticity, and you just don't see those every day. I mean, so it's very cool, and it's mounted in an open bezel, so the coin hasn't been damaged. If somebody wanted to take that out and get it certified, it wouldn't, you know, come back as jewelry grade. I mean, it's all been professionally mounted, so very cool.
Speaking of gold, we had a good conversation on Wednesday too, talking about gold and silver, where those prices are, and then the educational, which you give education when people walk in the shop, but you know the platinum palladium you always talk about. This one makes a lot of sense to me why they're so valuable, and it's not just because they're shiny and look pretty, right?
Oh, absolutely, especially platinum palladium, because when manufacturers when car sales start rising and they make more catalytic converters, then of course that orders for those metals go and they increase a lot. And for instance, palladium was over $2,500 an ounce during the crisis, but when automobiles, even used cars, were selling higher than most new cars were selling, you know, for comparable models at just a few years old. And that has continued forward now, but the actual sales have dropped, causing metals to drop. So it's a great time if you wanted to get into platinum or palladium. Those premiums have dropped drastically, and the metal prices have come down to where you can get those prices close to half of what gold's selling at right now. So a great time to get platinum plating, and we have both of those metals in stock.
Good stuff. And while they're there, check out the gift items. Tell folks how to find you.
Hey, we're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us the shop, 725-1590, and they can check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com. And just real quick, we got 101-ounce gold Cougarans. We're running a sale on them. We just got them in, and we're going to sell those for about $30 less than normal premium, so get them while they last.
I like it. All right, y'all go by and see them at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Ron, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Ron, checking in. And we can continue our broadcast. We are live at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, and we're out in front of Grander Marine as they're having their grander opening of their new location here. Pretty cool. Number one, they got the boats, you know, from Grander Marine. But in addition, with the store here, they've got tackle shop, live bait, all that going on right here at the Wharf. So when you're down here at the boat show, make sure to go in there and check it out. And also your chance to win one, a golf cart. This raffle is going to be held on Sunday, but you can register today. Drop your name in today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and they'll do the drawing on Sunday evening at or Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. All right, we've been talking about it now for a day, and still many questions out, and that's why I bring in my buddy John Sharp from AL.com to talk about the arena. What are we going to, I mean, is arena the term that we're using for this projected building?
Yeah, right now that's the term, arena. It's not a circular arena. It would be more of the rectangular arena that is apparently in vogue with all the modern structures today that are built. And so it's not going to be a carbon copy of what we have. It's definitely going to be different.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's something maybe more similar. I know this morning they're, you know, talking about what I think Savannah did, something similar to this, or maybe not, you know, not just like it, but an arena.
Yeah, very similar. It was built a couple of years ago, and I think the idea is that, you know, that's kind of what Mobile wants for their downtown, is to have a venue that can draw some of the top touring acts that can, basically right now, the current facility cannot withstand. I mean, we've talked about this before. It cannot withstand the load of some of these major acts that come out on tour. And so this facility would be able to, you know, be able to do that. And that's just on the concert side of things. I think there's a hope of drawing a minor league hockey team. That certainly perks some interest to see where that might go. I think, you know, it's very early in those discussions, but that has been discussed initially. And of course, the Mardi Gras angle.
Okay, I guess talk about hockey for a second. It's funny because Jim Cox, who's run things down here at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, was just on with me. He came here because of Mobile Mystics hockey. That's how he and I met each other, gosh, a lifetime ago. If you freeze it, they will come. I mean, that was the thing that stood out yesterday when the hockey thing was announced. People started hitting me up on the text line saying, why are we going to do hockey? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we have the, you know, I guess it could happen. That doesn't mean somebody signed up to bring a team here, right?
That's correct. That is just because it could happen. That's kind of where we're at right now. And I don't know any private interests right now that are, you know, that have a proposal they're going to roll out in 3 years to bring hockey to Mobile. And I think you might be a little early on that. And I'm looking forward to talking to some officials a little further on that. It's still, again, you know, a lot of this is fresh. But, Pensacola's got a hockey team. They've had one for a long time. And I don't know if anybody, you know, if you've been to a game there in recent years, but it is a good experience. It's a fun experience. It's they do a good job. There's local ownership, and they seem to be really vested into the franchise. And that seems to be, you know, what Mobile, I think, we've gone through this before, you know, with the Bay Bears, even the Mystics from years ago. It can be a struggle drawing crowds to these games, but if you talk to folks that are involved in this kind of stuff, they continuously talk about the experience, not necessarily the standings when it comes to minor league sports. It's all about bringing the family and having that experience, and that it's done well, and it's something that can sustain itself over the course of a season and or seasons. And that's the real key here, I think, and getting that ownership that really is dedicated to Mobile.
Yeah, we'll see, if it comes. Be interesting, but it can house that. This footprint, I mean, you said, you know, people can read through your story over at AL.com, but you said seating capacity of 10,275. Is that, I should know, but I don't know what the current Civic Center is. What's the difference in seating? Is it more or less than what we have now?
It's not much more. The seating capacity is not much more, but I do think that, you know, there is additional room within this new venue. You have this great, they call it the great room, or kind of like the great entrance, the great hall.
Yeah, what is that? You wrote about that. Help me picture what this is.
It sounds like this grand entrance when you walk into the building, and it would be similar. It sounds like it would have the capacity almost of what we have currently with Expo, with the adjacent Expo Hall over there at its current Civic Center. About 1,000 people could be into this entrance, then, you know, as you walk in into this new arena. And, it would be utilized for Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras balls would be able to have, you know, separate events inside this within the grand event, which would be the grand tableau, which would be inside the arena. You would have, you know, you could have a band out theoretically in this great hall areas, from my understanding. It's just kind of an addendum to the arena, and so it is it's part of the structure, it's part of the design. Of course, we got to keep in mind design right now, according to the city, is at 30%, so it's not even 50% yet. But once they get to 60%, that's I think when they're going to lock in the final prices and all the features and the nooks and crannies into what this arena will be like. But it, you know, to roll things out as they did yesterday, it indicates that they are moving forward. They have, you know, again, the group OVG, they're moving forward with that contract. That's something that should be solidified by next month. And so, you know, all the ducks are in a row on this project, it sounds like. And so it's just a matter of time before we get to the summertime and we know a little bit more about the exact price tag of this facility.
Yeah, I do want to come right back to that because, you know, I'm predictable. Price tag gets my attention and discussion. But that you talk about management, that would change, right, from the people that are running the management now at the facility. A new company would be running the booking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's correct. And they would also have some skin in the game. And from my understanding, as far as initial financial arraignment has been released, would be about 10% that they would be required to be invested into this arena. So there is some skin in the game for the group. Is called the Oakview Group, OVG. They're managers of sports venues throughout the country. They're based out of Denver. So this is not their first rodeo. But they are, they're part of the financial arrangements in this facility. And they're bringing on board Live Nation Entertainment. I think a lot of people probably recognize the name. They are the world's largest, ticketing outlet that promotes touring acts throughout the country.
Now, you talked about, so I told you, I jumped on that money part. First of all, the $300 million, you said 30% done, they'll know more at 60% done with the plans. But it seemed like in the comments from the city, the comments from the mayor, it was not to exceed $300 million, right? But is it going to, I'm not trying to be, I love the idea, but I am, at least somebody who's lived here, my whole life almost, to say, a lot of times I hear projects are going to be X and they become Y.
Well, I think there's going to be some pressure on keeping that under $300 million because we have the company Volker Inc. is the project managers on this project. And they're in charge of ensuring that this project does not come in above the $300 million price tag. So, I will be interested to see because I'm not totally sure what the ramifications are if this project starts escalating above the price tag that the mayor has set out on this thing. So, there's already been some concerns raised with the parking garage. We just went through that late last year, and it exceeded
significantly
by $9 million. Yeah, significantly. So that's certainly, I think, something that the council is going to be honed in on in the next couple of weeks while the discussions start moving forward on contracts to start beginning this project.
Financing it, and you did the best breakdown I think that I saw, at least it made sense. You said, I think the second paragraph, one of your stories said, the city plans to borrow up to 56% of the cost. Because a lot of times these numbers are out and they kind of get lost in the mix. So 56% the city's going to borrow. How are they just going to get a loan from the bond market? Or are they how's that 56% made up? And then I want to hear where the other, 44 comes from.
Yeah, so as proposed, we're looking at $165 to $170 million. Now, keep in mind the final numbers are not firmed up due to the design not being fully firmed up yet. But as proposed, that's what they're looking to borrow. It would be a debt, a bond over a 20-year period, so repayment around 2045. Now, it gets a little confusing and tricky because the city has existing debt on the books right now that's been inherited. The Stinson administration inherited that years ago. Mm-hmm. And just also for everybody to realize is that this would be the first major bond borrowing program that this current mayor has moved forward on. I mean, apparently there's been nothing like this before since he's been elected in 2013. So he made note of that as well. So at any rate, this would be, it would be a bond repayment over 20 years. The city has, they can put up to $100 million in cash towards the overall development. Of that cash that they're putting up, $50 million would come from the city's unassigned fund balance. Let me back up a little bit. I apologize because it was a little bit confusing. The city does have this bond. They have this existing debt that's apparently going to roll off by 2030. So between now and 2030, what the city would do would be make interest-only payments on this new debt that it would be taking on. And then after 2030, when all the other debt for projects like the cruise terminal and Gulf Quest and so on and so forth and various other things, when all that rolls off in 2030, then the only debt that the city will have left is on this project. And that's when the principal and interest payments would kick in until 2045.
So they're combined what they're paying now for debt service, and then that will all be combined to go towards this once the other debts are taken care of.
That's correct. That's the debt service side of things. And the city's putting up, again, the taxpayers. So when I say the city, is the taxpayers, local taxpayers. Mm-hmm. They're putting up $100 million in cash towards the overall development. Of that, $50 million comes from the city's unassigned fund balance, which sometimes is called the reserves, but the city frowns upon that as well. But it's the unassigned fund balance that the city has. And the city's dipped into this before for various projects. They've been able to boost this balance up over the years, and they've been able to utilize $30 million went towards the new airport terminal project a few years ago that the city council approved. So that's an example of what that unassigned fund balance has gone towards. It would be a significant amount coming out of that, but it would go towards this arena facility. Just also keep in mind that there is still enough money to handle a rainy day as well. The mayor made mention of that the rainy day fund would not be depleted.
Is the rainy day fund money. And the unassigned balance the same thing, or are they two different?
Yes. The rainy day fund is within this massive unassigned balance, and there's enough money in this that can be utilized to handle emergencies if they were to come. So, they've looked at their accounts and they feel comfortable that they can handle that cash payment. On top of that, there's $40 million set aside that the city would be anticipating coming from naming rights. Well, that's a sizable amount, but it would be on naming rights of the entire structure and perhaps attractions within it. And then there, the 10% as well from OVG Group, and then $3 million to preserve the existing mosaics that are currently on display within the Civic Center. So there would be some investment in that as well. So all that comes to about what the city's looking at as far as a financial obligation arrangement for this new arena project.
There it is. Y'all can, of course, read more over at AL.com from John on this, or people can reach out to you on social media. How do they find you there?
Twitter, X, at JohnSharp99, or I'm also on Threads by the same handle.
All right, good. I have a feeling you and I are going to continue this conversation going forward. A lot to talk about. John, I appreciate you reporting on this so far.
All right, Sean, thanks.
All right, there he goes, John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile live at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. We're right here at Grander Marine for their Grander opening. What a cool place. Got boats, got cool offshore and inshore tackle, live bait. Come by and see us and say hi.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Tom, welcome back. Midday Mobile. I appreciate my South Baldwin people coming out and saying hi. I can come out like between segments here. Even my man Chris in Orange Beach, daily texter there. Good to see you, man. Thanks for stopping by. Y'all can do this. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. Of course, Wharf Boat and Yacht Show goes through Sunday, and the Grander Marine opening going on throughout the weekend. Your chance to win a golf cart. Not only check out, which is really cool because you got like a boat store, but then you got a tackle shop in front. Really, like if you're a fishing nerd like I am, they got the right stuff. They got very good quality tackle, rods, reels, terminal tackle, all that good stuff in there, and live bait. But they have your chance. You drop your name in the registration box today, tomorrow, and Sunday. They're drawing for a free candy golf cart. That's K-A-N-D-I. So it's not candy paint, but the golf cart game. Golf cart game is off the hook, man. It's like this candy golf cart's got bucket seats front and back, the rims, the whole layout, the roof, and all that is beautiful. Just drop your name in when you're down here at the Grander Marine location on the west side of the wharf here, and they'll do that drawing on Sunday, I think, at 5 o'clock. Before I even get to the text line, I will say this. So my buddy just sent me a text and said, hey, is it time? What do you say? I guess Mega Millions is enough now to buy a ticket. Mega Millions up to $815 million. The lottery there? I guess so. This is my buddy's tempted me into this conversation. I just worked with guys for so many years, over all my years of working in broadcast, even before broadcasts are intermixed, that there'd be that guy in your office that the lottery in Florida would get up to, like, I don't know, back then it was like $20 million. He'd say, well, I guess I'm going to go get a ticket now. And I used to go, dude, I had to pick you up and bring you to work because you didn't have gas money. So when it was $1 million, it wasn't enough for you to waste your time. And now, it's $20 million. So I guess to my buddy, $815 million. I guess it's worth buying a lottery ticket and dreaming. couple ranches I already have on my to-buy list if I win that. All right, to the text line here. Gosh, a lot of people here. Don said, "Sean, hey, Sean, I hear all this talk about the new arena, but nobody's talking about the parking. Any word on that?" Well, they got the parking deck, so that part's going to work. People talking about who's going to manage and who's managing the convention center going forward. I'll try to get that question answered. Hey, we'll come back to this after the news. Also, Parker Snyder, 1819 News, joins us. A whole lot more coming up. Hour number two of Midday Mobile next.